Well, good morning, everybody. Here we go. Yeah, it's okay, that's fine. Now, boys and girls, today we're going to be thinking about the communicating God and God speaking through storytelling, right? Do you like stories, Matthew? Come on. Yes, you do. Right, I'll prove it to you. Right, here's a story for you, okay? You listening? Once upon a long, long a... Okay, you have to finish your story. Oh, well, no, here, think about it, okay? Because we're going to hear some stories the day, okay? I love stories. Do you like stories?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, you like stories, Rachel. That's good. Are some stories to tell, aren't there? Are some stories you want to sweep under the carpet like you can? And we might hear some stories like that today where you would rather those stories were swept under the carpet kind of thing. So, right, let's see, I think... Oh, no, do you like my Paul? Do you know who my Paul is? Laurie the Lamb. Do you think we'll get any stories about lambs today? Maybe.
Jesus looks after lambs.
Yes, he does. Jesus looks after lambs. You know, it's good. That's a good message. He does. And you know, we're all sheep. Okay, you didn't look like a sheep. I know. But now we're going to listen to a story about a sheep just now. Okay, so Catherine is going to come up and read the first Bible reading, which is, and you can turn it up in your Bibles, it's Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Okay, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. See if you can hear anything about lambs and sheep in this one.
The parable of the lost sheep. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance.
Thank you, Catherine. That's lovely. Now, Jesus does look after sheep, that's right, Rachel, and we are going to sing about it as a sheep, because the first hymn is the Lord's my shepherd, and if the Lord's your shepherd, that means you're a sheep. That's right, he did. I think we might well hear something about that the day as well. David did look after his sheep, he was a good shepherd as well, although Jesus is the good shepherd, right? So let's stand and we'll sing this hymn to start with.
Thank you.
And now we'll ask Xander West if he will lead us in prayer. Thank you, Xander.
Our God and Father, we have so much to thank you for this morning, Father. We just thank thee, Father, for the privilege and the freedom, Father, to gather in your house this morning, come into your presence. The psalmist can say that you are our God, the incomparable God, far above all. All things were made by you. By you, you created all things. We just thank you this morning, Father, for everyone gathered here this morning, Father, from the youngest to the oldest, Father. No, Father, we realize that some through different circumstances might be able to, be unable to come along. We just ask thee, Father, you might comfort them this morning, Father. This morning, Father, we thank thee, Father, this morning, Father, for your unspeakable gift, Father. When the fullness of time was come, Father, you sent your Son, Father, the Lord Jesus, Father. He came at this scene of time, Father. He came to seek and to save, Father, them it was lost, Father. So, Father, we just ask thee, Father, to sometimes we stumble, Father, what to say, Father. That be with everyone here this morning, Father. No, Father, the hymn writer could say, tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Our Savior came glory. We thank thee, Father, this morning. He says, tell me the story slowly, Father, that I may take it in. God's remedy for sinners, Father. We just ask thee, Father, to be with everyone, Father, who takes part this morning, Father. The name, Father, of your Lord Jesus, Father, might be lifted up, Father. No, Father, he is worthy, Father. Receive our praise, Father. Glory and honor, Father, to his name. Just be with us. Amen.
Now, boys and girls, once upon a long, long time, quite a long, long time ago, actually, there was a man and a woman got married yesterday. Well, it wasn't yesterday, it was like years ago, on the anniversary of yesterday, and it was Xander and Catherine's anniversary. Now, you ask him during the tea how many years ago it was that Xander and Catherine got married. Xander told me yesterday, I couldn't believe it. And Xander says, it just seems like yesterday. I'll give you a clue. I wasn't even born then. It just shows you how long ago it was. And it's lovely to see you, Catherine and Xander, and we love you, and we congratulate you, and the Lord's been good to you, and that's fantastic. Now, boys and girls, Andrew's going to come and give you a story, so would you like to come and sit at the front here? Okay.
Right, that's me wired for sound. Can everybody hear me okay? Right. Okay. Right, boys and girls. Oh. Right, boys and girls, and good morning, everybody. Right, well, we're looking this morning at stories. Okay, Norman just said, I'm going to tell you a story. We're looking at different stories. Stories can do different things. You know that? There's lots of different stories. You know, you can't account the amount of stories.
Get some different stories from places of people by you.
You can get different, well done, Rachel, you can get different stories. Do you hear that? You can get different stories from places that people
buy you.
All right, different stories. Okay, well, there's lots of different stories come from lots of different places. Stories can do different things. Actually, there's some stories from that you used to get, that you get in this country, in Scotland.
Yes. My sister,
yes.
Stories.
You like to read stories.
Mom.
Like to read stories with your mum and your sister. That's great. That's really good. Okay. And stories can do different things. Stories can tell us different. Well, they've got different meanings sometimes.
Because you can see something.
That's right. Okay. You get different stories, and stories can do different things. Sometimes they've got, sometimes stories make us laugh. They can be quite funny. They can make us laugh.
I've seen a
story. Matthew.
Matthew,
what did you say about stories?
I saw a picture.
Yes.
And it was from a story, but it didn't
yes.
actually happen.
You saw a picture, it looked like it was from a story, but it didn't actually happen.
And
that's good.
Because it was,
well,
because
sometimes stories do have pictures, and you know, stories can do different things. They can make us laugh. And we'll talk about Jesus and the stories he told in a moment. Stories, there's lots of different stories. Sometimes a story has a picture, and sometimes they don't, but many stories will have pictures as well. It'll tell you a little bit about the story. And stories can do different things. Sometimes stories have got important meanings for us, important lessons for us, but sometimes there's stories that make us laugh as well. And there's stories from this country, from Scotland. Here's an example of some books that told stories that made people laugh. Okay, and you still get these books today. And you know, at this time of the year, Christmas time, when I was your age, I used to get a copy of one of these books every year. And most children in Scotland, I would say, used to get these books. You used to get one of them a year. You got this one year, and then the following year, you'd have this one. Now they put the two out together. You can still get them today. And again, if you've got a copy for this year, but make a good Christmas present. You still get these books. They've got lots of stories in them that make you laugh. If anyone doesn't see, it's the Bruins and Who Are Willie, okay? And they've got lots of funny stories that make us laugh. What we'll see here as well, lots of pictures as well that tell us the story and give us the funny meaning. So that's an example of some stories, okay? And these, you know, this is not the latest book, okay? This is not the latest copy of the book. Latest copies of the book, they're on sale. So see if you can get a copy, either the Bruins or Roar Willie, and you'll find there's lots of funny stories in these books as well. But sometimes, you know, not all stories make us laugh, okay? Sometimes stories have got important lessons for us. Sometimes stories tell us we've done something wrong and we need to go back to God and make it right with Him. You know, the Bible's got lots of stories. The Bible's more than just a storybook. The Bible is God's book, God speaking to us. It's a book about God, and God speaks to us. Now, God speaks to us in lots of ways. He speaks to us through the Bible, and He speaks to us through Jesus, God's Son, who came at Christmas time. But God also speaks through, there's some stories in the Bible, and God spoke to different people in different ways through stories. And I said, some stories do make you laugh, but some stories are very serious, and they tell you, no, you did something wrong, and you've got to make amends. There's a man in the Bible, David. Okay, he was the best king of his country. Okay, he was the best king. You maybe know the story of David and Goliath. You know the story of David and Goliath, how he killed the giant, the bad giant. But David, he was the best king, Israel ever had, this his country ever had, and he loved God, but even he could do something that was wrong. And one time he did something that was really, really bad, and he had to be told, you know, God wasn't happy with what he did, and God had to tell him, no, you've done wrong. And the way God did it was he sent his servant, a man called Nathan. You know anyone called Nathan? Nathan. Well, Nathan went to David and went to tell him, you've done wrong. But he didn't just say, hey, you, that's not good enough. You know, you've done wrong. No, he told a story. He told a story first of all, and David listened to the story. He was really angry when he heard the story. But then Nathan says, well, no, this story is about you, and you've done something wrong, and God's not happy with you. And David realized through the story, realized he'd done something really terrible. And David had to get down and to pray to God and ask God to forgive him and say, restore to me the joys of your salvation. So sometimes stories are told that show us we've done something wrong and we need to make it right again. And sometimes stories have got an important lesson to tell us. And you know who the best storyteller in the Bible was? Who do you think that was? Best storyteller in the Bible? He told lots of stories. Yes, Matthew.
Jesus.
Here are everybody. Jesus. And you are the best storyteller of them all, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus told lots of, Jesus told lots of stories to give important lessons to people. And you heard Catherine reading from the Bible at the start this morning, and she was reading one of the stories that Jesus told. Jesus told stories. We call them. Do you know the name that we call for some of the stories that Jesus told? What's the word that's used? Yes, Matthew.
The Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan. Well, that's a story that Jesus told. That's right. That's right. And what do we call the name for these stories like the Good Samaritan that Jesus told? Hey, both got hands up. So, parable. Do you agree with that, Samuel? Sorry. Yes. So, good boys. Okay. Parable. A parable. So Jesus told stories. Jesus told parables to teach us important lessons. And Jesus told three stories altogether one time about things that were lost. So this is what we heard in from the Bible read at the start. Jesus told about someone who had sheep. He had 100 sheep. It's a lot of sheep, okay? And they were eaten in the field, but one of them was missing. Okay, we've only got 100 sheep here. That's some of them, though. But one of them was missing. It was lost. It had left the rest of the sheep where it was safe on its own. It fell into trouble, and it was hungry, and it was in danger. See, it's fallen there. And the man who was looking after the sheep, we call him the shepherd, he noticed the sheep was missing. You know what he did? Did he just leave it out there and say, well, we'll not worry about that? Do you know what he did? Yes, Rachel? Okay. Well, no, there's no lion in this story, okay? Good guess, though, Samuel.
He went to go and find it.
Well done, right? He went to go and find it, and he went to look for it, and it was hard, and it was dangerous. He had to go out into the mountains. There was wild animals there. There might have been a lion, Rachel. Okay, but he went on, and he carried on until he heard the soft sound of the sheep. Bah! You know what he did? Picked up the sheep, put it on his shoulders, and he carried it home back with the rest of the sheep. And how do you think the shepherd felt when he found the lost sheep? What did he do? He was really, really happy. He rejoiced. Okay, he was really happy. And then Jesus told another story as well about something else that was lost, a silver coin. Okay, it's a woman who had 10 silver coins. That was a lot of money at the time. You see my silver coin here? How much is that? 20p, okay, 20p. Don't know, you won't see it up at the back. 20p, it's a silver coin, okay? Now, in those days, that was a lot of money, a silver coin. And she looked hard, she lost one of her silver coins. She had 10 silver coins, she lost one. And you know what she did? She didn't just say, well, I've got the other 9. She looked hard for it. She didn't give up. What was her husband going to say? How would she be feeling? How was she going to buy her food to feed her family? Maybe she sat down and she cried. But suddenly she would see this tiny piece of metal somewhere on the floor. It's the coin. She's found it again. What did she do? How did she feel? She felt really Happy, yeah, she rejoiced. She called, she's so happy. You know what she did? She called all her friends together to celebrate. And then there's a story as well of a boy that was lost, a son, okay? And he left his kind father, and he took all his share of the money, a lot more than just a silver coin or the 20p, a lot and lot of money. He went off, and he left his father, and he did lots of bad things. And he went away from home, did as he wanted, didn't care, he forgot about his home and his father. He wasted his money. And did anyone help him? You think any of his friends came to help him? No.
No.
No, that's right. No. That's right. So he had nothing left. And he had to take a job not feeding sheep, but feeding dirty pigs. Do you know what he did? Do you know what he said? He came to his senses and he said, "I'm going home." But what do you think his father would do? He's going home to his father. Do you think his father's going to say, You walked out. No, you left me. What do you think? How do you think his father felt when he saw his son coming back after his son had left him?
Happy.
Happy. Yeah, his father was happy. He wasn't angry, he was happy. Well done. He didn't tell him to go away. He went out to meet him. He went off to meet him while he was still a long way away. And he also was really happy and he rejoiced. They put in a great big dinner for him as well. A bit like the Christmas dinner you'll be having. And he said, "My son was lost and he is found." Now, you know, Jesus told stories to make a point. I said sometimes stories are for different reasons. Sometimes to make us laugh. Sometimes to tell us we've done something wrong and we need to, you know, we need to come back to God and say we're sorry and ask God to forgive us. Sometimes Jesus makes important points as well through stories. Okay, he tells stories to describe what we're like. Actually, what we need to do, and how we need Him, and what He's done for us. You see, we're all lost. We haven't lived for God the way we should do. And Jesus came. He said to seek and to save those who are lost. So He came. He told some of these stories to show what we're like and what He did for us, and how He loves us, and how He can, you know, be our friend in our lives and how He can save us. And He came and He gave His life on the cross for people like us to save us all from our sin. And if we ask Him, a bit like the shepherd and the sheep, He'll lift us up on His shoulders, okay? And how do you think He'll feel if we ask Him into our lives? How do you think He'll feel? He will be happy. He'll rejoice also. He'll rejoice the same way the shepherd rejoiced when he found the sheep. The same way the woman rejoiced when she found her coin, and the same way the father rejoiced when the son came back. Okay, so the coin, remember, was lost, was found by the woman. The sheep, here he is, was lost, was found by the shepherd. And the son was lost, he was found by his father. And remember, we're all lost, but Jesus has came, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we put our trust in him, then we'll be found. And we'll know Jesus as our Saviour and our friend. Okay? Thanks all for listening this morning.
Thanks very much, Andrew. What a lovely set of stories that is. Great stories. Laurie really liked that stories, didn't you, Laurie? And Laurie is needing some practice with a song, right? Because, boys and girls, you're going to be singing various songs and you've been learning them in a children's meeting. You'll be singing them at a choral service and a Christmas Eve service. And Laurie needs some help with one of the songs, right? So would you like to come out, and Samuel and Aaron will need help, and all, and Nathan and Jordan, would you like to come out, boys and girls, and we'll look at this TV screen, and the adults can look at our end, and we'll sing "Oh, What a Special Night," will we? When baby Jesus was born. You cannot in, because Laurie's needing some help with that, you see. Yeah? Okay. You can sing for there, though. You can see it up here, okay? You want to come and stand over here, look. And Rebecca will play the video, and we'll need Alexander. We'll need a sound up in the laptop as well. Come on while we're here, and we'll sing a song together. Okay, right. Seats now. I think Laurie, he liked the first verse the best. He's better at bowing, I think. There we go. Okay. So let's take up the offering just now. We'll keep our seats for the first few verses, and then we'll stand to sing the rest. It's on the overhead, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you.
ask Albert Sutherland if he would come and give us the prayer of intercession. Thank you, Albert.
Let's just bow our heads and take our time together to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for this another day of Thy grace. We thank You, Father, for another day of the open door. And we rejoice this morning to be found in Your house. It's good for us to be here. We're told to assemble ourselves together. And we thank You, Father, for the privilege that we have of coming into Thy presence this Lord's Day morning. We realize, Heavenly Father, in this world that we live in, there are so much persecution going on to Christians, our brothers and sisters. We pray, Heavenly Father, for them at this time, the underground church. We thank You, Father, that you're still building Your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we pray for our brothers and sisters who have been persecuted for the name of Jesus. And we realize, Heavenly Father, it's maybe not too far distant when we could find ourselves in the same situation. And so, Lord, we rejoice this morning and we thank You again for bringing us together. Pray for each head bowed in Thy presence at this moment, each family represented. We thank You for them. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that You will bless us this day as we gather together in Your name. Father, we pray for our town of Fraserburgh. We just ask that wherever the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in this town will be lifted up, that He will draw all manner of men and women and boys and girls unto Himself. He could say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've been speaking about the lambs this morning, and John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We thank You, Father, that as the children of Israel sacrificed a lamb without spot and without blemish, and they sprinkled the blood on the lintels and the doorposts, Father, and when I see the blood, I will pass over You. We thank You for the sacrificial Lamb of God who gave Himself willingly on Calvary to die for men and women. And so, Lord, we are gathered together with thankful hearts. We thank You this morning for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy and forgiveness towards us. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that wherever Your word is proclaimed this day, it will not return to You void, but it shall accomplish that for which You sent it. So, Father, we appreciate this time together. We thank You, Father, that You could say, I will be Your God, and You are the sheep of My pasture. And we thank You, Father, that all we like sheep have gone astray, but we have turned each other unto our own ways. But You have laid the iniquity of us all upon Him as He hung on that center cross in Calvary. So, Lord, bless us. As we gather together this morning, may we depart from this place later on, saying it's been good for us to be here. We ask all these things, Father, in that precious, peerless name of Jesus. You've told us to pray and ask in His name, and we do that this morning in the precious, worthy name of Jesus. We ask all these pleas and petitions. Thank You, Lord, for drawing us together this morning again. In Jesus' lovely name, amen.
Thanks, Albert. Thank you. Now, I haven't got a bulletin in front of me, so I'm winging the intimations here. So, Alma, you can correct me if I'm wrong, which is quite possible. But there's tea following this service through in the back hall, so please come through and have a cup of tea. It would be lovely. Robbie's got a busy day today because he's speaking this afternoon in the Filipino church, and he's speaking again tonight in the evening service, and the Revelation Bible study, to which all are welcome in the months tonight. Afterwards, our communion following the evening service. Coffee Emmaus tomorrow from 10 till 2. The children's meeting party is tomorrow night at 6:30. We have our normal prayer meeting, we don't actually have our normal prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We've got an open meeting, and you might or you might not have been at the last open meeting, and we're discussing quite a few matters that will affect the church going forward. And that meeting is in the back hall on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. to which you're all invited. There's some notes at the meeting of the last meeting, if you haven't got one already, just at the on the shelf as you go out the door there, if you want to take that and read over it and join with us on Wednesday night. There is a prayer meeting next Saturday as normal at 7 p.m. and of course the prayer meeting on Sunday morning at 10:15 as well. There's Christmas gift distribution, and the parcels for that will be ready for distribution on Wednesday night. Now, some folk have volunteered, some folk have previously volunteered to give out parcels, and that's great. And some of you have spoken to me about volunteering, and that's great. Now, I think somebody spoke to me a few weeks ago about it, and I've forgotten who you are because I had a senior moment. So if you know who you are and you spoke to me, can you remind me, please? I have to work on my phone and reminders now. See, if you reach my age, Zander, you'll ken if it like it is, Ken. But if I miss you out, as far as volunteering is concerned, please do remind me. And also, I don't want to miss anybody out that's on the OAP age range now, because you all look young, you see. Now, it's easy for us to mistake that you're so young that you didn't fit into that category, right? So I don't want to miss anybody out. Okay. Now, final intimation, which is a bit of an afterthought, really. Andrew Watt, I have to thank Andrew Watt for reminding me about this, because Handel's Messiah is in Aberdeen. Aberdeen Choral Society is performing Handel's Messiah on Tuesday the 12th of December, and that is in Holborn West Church, which is doing for the Ashfield Chip Shop, which is really convenient, Andrew. And that's at 7:15 a week on Tuesday the 12th of December. Now, the tickets are £17.60, including booking fees, right? And I've got a sheet out in the... I dare not ask folk to give me their names. I'll forget. So if you write your name down on here, if you want to come, if you write your name down or let me ken by Tuesday night, because I'll need to order the tickets probably Wednesday. We'll take a church minibus, and if we get mere folk, we could take a car as well. But I think it'll be a good night. It's actually at 7:15, so we'd hate to leave the church here probably about 5:30 or, you know, pick you up or pick folk up. But we can organise that and we know who's coming. Okay, I think that's everything. There is Jarvis Court next Sunday. Owen gave me a little flag and said she thought it was a day. But I hope I've written in my diary the right date. I'm getting safe. Owen, see if you reach my age, you'll ken all about it. But anyway, I hope Jarvis Court is next Sunday afternoon at 3:30. I think I did say to Samuel that Sunday the 9th, didn't I? I think I did, do I? Can you mind, Samuel? Well, thanks very much, Oi. You've got a better memory than me. Right, before Robbie comes up to speak, Ann Stephen's going to come up and read our scripture reading, which is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 7.
Nathan rebukes David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other one poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it and it grew up with him. and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller, which had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. As you know, for these family services, we've been taking as our title, The Communicating God. And last month, we saw God commissioning and creating beauty through the construction of the tabernacle. It was God, in a sense, communicating and speaking without words. Well, this week, God certainly does use words, and he does so through the storytelling of a prophet called Nathan. And most of you here, I'm sure, know the story and know the context behind the story. David coveted Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He got her pregnant. He then arranged for Uriah to be brought home in the hope that he would sleep with his wife and so become convinced that the child would be his. But when that did not work, because of the honorable Uriah's allegiance to his king and God above his home life, David had Uriah transferred to the front line in the sure knowledge that Uriah would be killed, and of course he was. So David then took Bathsheba as his own wife. It was absolutely shameful behavior from Israel's king. And there was coveting, there was theft, there was adultery, there was murder, there was conspiracy. In fact, as one commentator has said, 5 of the 10 commandments were broken in one sordid and cynical enterprise. Yet it was only after Nathan confronted David, and only when the child born to David and Bathsheba died, that David started to feel guilt and become repentant. And so what we're going to do briefly this morning, we're going to look at these 7 verses in 3 parts. The story is relayed in verses 1 to 4. There is a response in verses 5 to 6. And then there's a realization in verse 7. In other words, the story is first told by Nathan. David then reacts to it in his anger before finally understanding that the details of the incident were a picture of him. So the story is really a skillful way for the prophet to confront the king over his sin and over his behavior. So firstly, the story is relayed, verses 1 to 4. It's as if Nathan, armed with full divine authority, provides David with a kind of case study which would easily have been heard before one of the local courts. It's not unusual in scripture, in fact, for fictional stories to be used to present a real life situation. So in a sense, this story is not a parable. David is listening intently because he believes this is a genuine case of injustice within his realm. Parables are more obviously less literal. They tend to be known as less literal. But David thinks this is an actual occurring event. You know the story, we've just had it read to us. A poor man raises a ewe only for his beloved animal to be butchered by a rich man who selfishly would not use one of his own livestock, all in order to feed a guest. But you'll notice in the relaying of this story that the reader of the narrative, as well as David himself, almost becomes known to the poor man. We almost get to know him. We start to realize this man and his situation intimately. We enter into his world. Details flow, for example, about the love this man has for his sheep, how he tenderly raised her, how closely the animal has become entwined with his own family dynamic. The animal is spoiled. She becomes inseparable from her master. And all of this is contrasted in verse 4 with the deeds and the attitude of the rich man, who David and the narrator equally get to know as well. He comes across as mean. He comes across as selfish, as arrogant, as heartless. Now, I think it's all reminiscent, at least in part, of a story that Jesus would tell in Luke 16 about a rich man and Lazarus. The former feasted, the latter was starving. The former is arrogant, the latter is humble. The former is prominent, the latter is forgotten. The former was selfish, the latter was suffering. Nathan, in other words, is setting the story up to be one of grave injustice, of the poor being afflicted, of the weak being trampled upon. And all of these things, of course, were mentioned with great displeasure by Israel's God in Israel's scriptures. And so David would have been listening intently, closely to the prophet as he's relaying the account of unfairness and greed, so he thinks, in one of his own localities. And so David is intent now in sorting out the issue swiftly and fully. After all, he thinks this is a real case being presented for his judgment. And all this sets us up nicely for what happens next. And what happens next is David's response. That's in verses 5 to 6. See, one can imagine that David's ire, his wrath, his anger, it's welling up, it's building up inside him. And it's increasing and increasing as Nathan is relaying this account of local injustice. In fact, we read David's anger is greatly kindled against the man. And thereafter, his response is to pass a death sentence on the rich man. Such has become the king's emotional involvement, as we've said, with this issue. But of course, all this begs the question, why does David pronounce a death sentence when the man himself had not committed murder, which was the normal reason for having a sentence of death pronounced upon someone? Well, it's because of his own guilt. It's because of his own conscience. In projecting his righteous anger on somebody else, i.e. the nameless rich man, David is actually taking it out on him. He's actually taking out on this nameless rich man the anger and loathing David feels towards himself. Nathan, in other words, inspired by the Lord, has provided David with a projection screen by which to pass a guilty verdict on another person while actually passing it on himself. David's focus was to vent his spleen on a reality out of himself, but the reality was it was his own sin that he is really deeply angry about, even though he doesn't know it at this point in time. David himself is working through his own issues with Bathsheba, with Uriah. He is angry, he is livid with himself, and he's taking it out on this nameless rich man. And so the death sentence David pronounces is exaggerated out of his own self-loathing. But soon normality returns and David pronounces a more appropriate sentence upon the rich man. It's a fine to the amount of 4 lambs, both for the crime and for his lack of pity towards the nameless poor man whose sheep he stole and butchered. Now, this fine would impact the rich man very little, but it would have been life-transforming for the poor man. Here's the thing. This is what is happening here. David, living with a guilty conscience, is shaking his head in anger at someone else. And how often do we do the same? Shake our heads and our fists at the conduct of other people, yearning for judgment and punishment for them, when we have planks in our own eyes the size of a giant redwood. How often are our pockets full of stones we're ready to cast at other people when our own sin and wickedness is perhaps even greater? And is it not in part at least because somewhere deep inside us we're angry with ourselves because our own hearts are soiled, our minds and lives are impure, and because we, like David, have no inner peace with or from God? It's a defense mechanism. I'll be angry with you because I can't live with myself. That is why Jesus, I think, speaks so much of hypocrisy in the New Testament. We look at the public sin of others without confronting the secret sin of our own hearts. We focus on how they are offending us without ever looking at how we're offending them and, more importantly, how we're offending the Lord. That is David. That was his response. But fortunately, finally, there was realization, verse 7. The powerful king is brought low. This was, of course, necessary before he could ever be raised up again. The Lord would bring David to his knees through the prophet Nathan, and he would do it in only 4 words, 4 words which would floor David. It would wind him. And they came straight from Nathan's lips. You are the man. Yes, David, you, the king of Israel, the one the Lord had delivered out of the clutches of Saul, the one who was anointed, the nameless rich man, now has a name. It is David. It is you. Yet despite the shock, and it clearly was a shock, you'll notice that this story has prepared David for the shock. David had had loads of wives, loads of wealth, and yet he sought to take the life and the only wife of a humble man called Uriah. But Nathan's inspired story meant that none of this needed explaining to the king. He recognizes immediately through the story what his own conscience had in fact already been telling him. You are the man. I wonder if we're so quick to allow God's message in his word, as well as our own guilty consciences, through the work of the Spirit, to condemn us. Or maybe we're sitting here this morning, still burying the truth, blaming others rather than ourselves. It's a denial that was contemptible to God with Nathan and David. And it's a denial contemptible to God today. We resist his grace. We grieve his spirit. We continue to poison only our own souls, intensify division with others, because we won't face up to our own sin. And I know in my own life, and I know it very well, that sometimes I have simply had to face up to the brutal reality of God, of the Spirit, and of his word, which have all been speaking to me in my heart and my conscience, the four loud words, Robbie, you're the man. It's your fault. And David is now at this point of realization. He now stood, as it were, completely naked before the divine judge, not just Nathan, before a divine judge. But it would be at this point where repentance and then healing would replace self-righteousness and denial. And of course, the result would be a heartbreaking and yet beautiful Psalm 51, where David would be purged with hyssop, made clean, and washed whiter than snow. So there we have it. A story is relayed to prepare David for judgment. His response is firstly anger, but then realization comes. The truth is, friends, God is still communicating through storytelling. It's called scripture. But the question is, are we listening? Or do we somehow think it applies to other people in other situations? It doesn't. God's word is personal to us. It is speaking to us. We are the man. So let us humbly receive its message and apply it to our hearts, to our minds, to our tongues, to our lives, and to our deeds. And then find healing in the loving grace of God. Amen.
Thank you, Robbie, very much. It's a word for every one of us. Now, there was one intimation I forgot, which is that the Sunday School and Cradle Roll party is next Saturday at 2:30. It's party season, isn't it? It's Christmas party season. But you know, it's party season in heaven whenever a sinner comes and repents. And I'm sure this happens every day, and it's up to us as little sheep to realise that Jesus forgives us. We just need to come to him. And as Robbie says, I'm the man, you're the man. Each of us have to be spoken to by the Lord, and we need to come to him every day. And so let's stand and sing our final hymn, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. Remember, there's tea following the service. When we finish this hymn, if we take our seats, Alex Smith will close in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. We thank you again, Lord, that you communicate us through thy stories and through thy word. And Lord, it's as relevant today as it was when it was proclaimed all these many years ago. We thank you, Lord, that you are the only hope, that you came into this scene of time and died for sinners like me, Lord. And we thank you for that precious redeeming blood that cleanses us from all our sins. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for every head that's bowed here today, every family that's represented, Lord. We pray a blessing upon each and every one. Draw near to them, Lord. All have different needs. We just pray that you would tend to them. And again, Lord, we thank you for the cup of tea that's prepared for us, Lord. We pray that you'd bless those who provided it and prepared it, Lord. And we pray that we'd have a good time of fellowship, one with the other. So, Heavenly Father, again, we just pray that you would, that we thank you, Lord, for the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and part us now with your richest blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.